time. Lights out for the curfew of your body, soul, and mind.
Good evening. You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm Michelle.
And I'm Dave. Tonight, folks, we're doing an important show, in my opinion. And there are some things that you need to have paper and pencil by your side to write down. Listen to everyone. Read everyone. And don't believe anything until you can document it in your own research. And then there's somebody else that has something to say. Go, would you please say what you have to say?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Won't be fooled, won't be caged, don't tread on me. The damn Yankees, I like that song. Tonight, Bill is not with us. He's off doing, shall we say, other things. He graciously asked us to sit in tonight and do the show for him, and we're certainly pleased to do that. Tonight, we're going to discuss some things that came out in the August 95 issue of Soldier of Fortune magazine. I used to subscribe to Soldier of Fortune. I thought it was a good magazine. In some ways, I still do. I think it contains some good information, especially Peter Kokalis's articles regarding firearms. He's recognized around the world as an expert. He is an expert. He still gives good information. And he writes for Soldier of Fortune, and I like that, and I'll still go buy the magazine off the newsstand just to get what he has to say. The Soldier of Fortune, in my opinion, and tonight you're going to hear my opinion, you're going to hear Michelle's opinion, and I want you to make sure that you qualify it as such. In my opinion, Soldier of Fortune has become an agent of disinformation, and if that upsets some people, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Yeah, and the thing about Soldier of Fortune is so many really good, upstanding patriot people read it and consider it almost the Bible of information. I know it's a well-read and sometimes respected publication viewed that way by members of the militia, but it's time to lift the rock and show the scorpion underneath. There is just too much disinformation to be borne, and as we had talked about earlier before this broadcast, the disinformation is just about enough to make you sick, and this is about the biggest crock I've seen yet, a crockumentary, if you will.
Well, I don't want to offend anybody, but in my opinion, Soldier of Fortune has become politically correct. Excuse me. Now, tonight you're just going to have to take us, mistakes and all. We're probably going to screw up, mispronounce some words, whatever. That's the way we do it live. First, I'm going to read a letter that appeared in the letters column. It's titled, McVeigh, an ATF agent, ? And it reads, did any of you at SOF notice the physical resemblance between the unidentified BATF agent at the right of BATF agent Robert Rodriguez in the photo on page 50 of the June 95 SOF and Timothy McVeigh? Am I a little paranoid, or is this just coincidence? And I'm not going to read the name of the guy that wrote the letter. The response reads as follows. Many. We're talking many in capitals. Sharp-eyed SOFers called to point out the glaring similarity between McVeigh and the unidentified ATF agent in that photo. And while this would be the scoop of the century for SOF, if it were, it ain't. Close examination of the original photograph revealed several marked differences between the agent and McVeigh. Readers who want to know who the mystery man is are advised to call the ATF in Washington. Has something to say about that, Michelle?
Well, only that the issue of McVeigh lookalikes is really pretty much old news. I don't know why they're still rehashing and beating this dead horse. Folks have been talking about the McVeigh lookalikes, the Nichols lookalikes, since day one. And recently, there was an article in the Oklahoman that the headline of it was McVeigh lookalike. And they did a big interview with a fellow up at Fort Riley, Kansas, who looked like, I mean, a spitting image for Timothy McVeigh. And this was about the same time that they named poor Todd Bunting as John Doe, too. Forget the fact that it didn't even look like him.
And just for you folks who don't know what the Oklahoman is, we live in Oklahoma, okay?
And that's the newspaper here, the main rag that's published here. But this whole business of lookalikes, Stephen Jones, the attorney for Timothy McVeigh, head of the defense team, has stated that what will occur as a result of the trial here is a complete destruction of the eyewitness testimony, that we'll never again be able to take the word of eyewitnesses, that will become a lack of integrity in eyewitnesses. And, of course, when you look at the O.J. trial, they're talking about that as the end of the jury system in this country. So there's a lot of things at play. But actually, we're not here to talk about Oklahoma tonight. That's going to be several episodes, I guess, of the Hour of the Time in the future. What I want to talk about right now is this letter to the editor. The headline reads, Two Militia Looms Shut Up. And I do have some pertinent comments about this, but I want you to hear the letter first. It reads very well. And I quote, much has been written about the massive turnout of gun owners who turned the tide in the November 94 elections. One poll I read had one out of every two voters at the booths as a gun owner. Sounds impressive, but only 39% of eligible voters actually voted. That means many gun owners sat at home doing who knows what. Imagine if gun owners had turned out in force, Schumer, Kennedy, and Feinstein would not have been returned to office. Get with it, gun owners. The 96th election will be more important than the 94 election because we have to regain lost ground. We lost ground when certain militia groups went on national TV. Instead of keeping quiet and letting the nation realize that terrorism can happen here, certain militia members told the media that they are not sure the feds weren't responsible. One even claims that when the United Nations takes over with the blessing of the U.S. government, all gun owners will be marched down into pits and machine guns. These statements by irresponsible militia members now have Americans believing that anyone who owns a semi-automatic military look-alike rifle is a nut who needs to be locked up. As proof of this, the Congress has postponed to, quote, a later date, the gun ban repeal. Get with it, people. You have a right to own a semi-auto AK-47 as I do, and you can be a militia member, but you do not have the right to spew forth a bunch of garbage and destroy my rights as a gun owner. Do us all a favor and shut up around the media, please. And the writer asks that his name be withheld on request. Now, I think that anyone who watched the militia hearings on C-SPAN probably inwardly cringed when poor Norm Olson held up his 6-pound notebook of documentation and offered it to the panel. And as far as I'm concerned, he has been totally discredited. I know he recently resigned from the Michigan militia, and he was quoted here as saying that the Michigan militia had been infiltrated by what he termed moderates, and that the group had lost its ideological bearings.
Now, who says that I have the right to be in a militia? Not Norm Olson.
Well, no.
Where does that come from?
Well, it starts out coming from the second article and amendment to the Constitution for the United States of America.
And why do you think Norm Olson has been discredited?
Well, I believe he's been discredited because he offered all of this documentation, alleged documentation, and yet when he was questioned about it, this is the 6-pound notebook, it must have been 4 inches thick. He was questioned about, had he proven any of the items in that notebook? And he responded, this is the man who is supposed to be in charge of communications for that group. And he responded by saying, well, no, we don't have the manpower, we don't have the time to document our information. We collect it, and then we turn it over to the media. And it's the media's responsibility to document and to prove whether it's correct or not. Now, I ask you, has the media ever documented or proven anything, ever? Ever. No, not ever.
Sorry, big laugh from me.
Well, at that point, I just about lost it. And there were a lot of very unhappy, embarrassing, humiliating things that occurred in those hearings in Washington about the militias. And that would be a whole nother show, too. But the fact remains that it was a bad thing, in my opinion, for the militias to show up on Donahue and act the way they did and say the things they did. And Norm Olson has resigned from the Michigan militia. I guess he's going to form his own group. I understand he was the founder. The group is now under new leadership. I believe the man's name is Lynn Van Huysen, and he seems to be a pretty level-headed young fellow. And there are wonderful, patriotic, upstanding people in Michigan, and if more people who had leadership problems would address those problems, then the militias could again regain the respect of the people of the United States and not be laughed off the face of the earth by some of the baloney stuff that they've been spewing out.
Well, bless his heart, I feel like Norm Olson is a man that has a good heart and has been led astray and messed around by a bunch of people. We need to move on to the next article that appears on page 34 of Soldier Fortune, August 95, which is entitled, Would You Fire on U.S. Gun Owners? Now, most people in the, and I'm going to call it the so-called patriot movement, the so-called militia movement, and I'm going to call it so-called because I have great reservations about people that are very active now in the things they have to say. So I'm going to say so-called. Okay? Sorry. This article is written by James L. Pate. I think it is a very good article. It deals mainly with the man that wrote the questionnaire that was presented to the Leathernecks at the Marine Corps Air Ground Combat Center at 29 Palms, California on 10 May 1994. This was only 5 days after the passage of the assault weapons ban, and supporters of the Second Amendment were understandably alarmed. At the time, questions, including those from congressmen, were many. Answers were few. All the Navy could confirm was that the survey had been given by Navy Lieutenant Commander Ernest Guy Cunningham, 42. That's his age, as part of the research for his master's thesis. Now, that's what this guy was doing. This article goes through all of his personal history and his personal background. And it concludes on page 87, which I'm going to read. Cunningham, the guy who wrote the survey, who now serves with the Navy's Reserve Manpower Analysis Unit in Memphis, Tennessee, was as shocked by the response to his thesis research as the public was by its questionnaire. It has led to personal interviews with members of Congress, as well as dozens of requests for interviews from journalists. He believes the findings of his research will be the subject of policy debate for some time to come, no doubt. Advance warning for the next month's story. 26.34% of the 300 Marines said they would fire on U.S. citizens, and 23.66% were willing to swear allegiance to the United Nations. So we're talking 1 out of 4 at the minimum, folks. If you got the Marines and you lined them up, every fourth man would swear his allegiance to the United Nations, and every fourth man would be willing to fire on U.S. citizens. So those are the statistics that he came up with. But there is cause for hope, Mr. Pate says at the end of his article. For those opposed to President Clinton's vision of a future in which national sovereignty is subverted in favor of a leftist UN agenda, the research suggests that the overwhelming majority of combat soldiers, if given a choice, would prefer not to perform any mission under the operational control of the United Nations. Now, notice the word prefer. It doesn't say they would refuse to serve. It doesn't say that they would challenge any order that was given to them to serve. It says that they would prefer not to perform any mission under the operational control of the United Nations, Cunningham said. Anyone that really knows me knows that I am not a neutral kind of fellow and that I'm very strong in my convictions. If you're a believer in sovereignty of any nation, you cannot be a believer in collective security. That's a pretty good statement. Because there is a point when the justification of collective security comes with the diminishing of an individual nation's sovereignty.
Well, I guess everybody probably remembers the big stink that came up when our troops were put under non-United States UN command in Somalia. And it was a big issue for a while there of whether our guys would be commanded by foreign generals, and they came up with the call home law, where if you were given a command you weren't quite sure about or didn't quite agree with, hey, you could call home to the United States and find out whether you had to follow the command or not. This sounds to me like glorified military mother, may I, and just the first step between having American troops under American generals, who are probably the best generals in the world, and having our troops directed, commanded by unknown quantities from foreign nations who may or may not have our best interests at heart.
Well, I would prefer not to serve under UN control, but would I do it if I was ordered to? That's the question.
Well, would you fire on your neighbors if they were disobeying a command that was given by a UN commander?
I would prefer not to.
Yeah, but what are the consequences if you don't?
Well, that wasn't a question. It was...
Well, I'm asking.
I would prefer not to. Okay, let's move on. Let's move on to this article called Patriots or Paranoids by Craig B. Hullett. And Michelle, if you wouldn't mind, just go through and scan through these things and read the parts that have been highlighted. We're coming up on our break.
Aren't we already?
Well, just in a little while.
In a little bit, okay. Yeah. Patriots or Paranoids, Black Helicopters, a strike force for the New World Order by Craig B. Hullett. I guess everybody in the world has an opinion now about the black helicopter issue. And Soldier of Fortune kind of misses the boat. But this article is a supreme example of how you take a little bit of truth, mix it in with a little bit of BS, let the article run clear to the end, and then say, hey, there's no new world order. There's nothing to sweat. This article is classic. Classic. You need to listen to this.
Well, we may not get done before the break.
Yeah,
go ahead and get started.
Yeah, we will. Black helicopters, quote, black helicopters have come to symbolize in the minds of conspiracy theorists the new world order's impending takeover of the United States. Conspiracy lovers will inform you that these strange sightings are from a mysterious multi-jurisdictional task force, the MJTF, part of the New World Order manned by UN stormtroopers or American soldiers under UN command, and organized to hunt down good patriots bearing arms. This MJTF and other ultra-secret groups, known only to the conspiracy fringe, are, in their minds, highly secretive forces. The problem is that conspiracy buffs are seeing concepts as actual things. That MGF and the MJTF and the New World Order are only ideas is out of their cognitive reach. How elitist. What a horrible thing to say.
Yeah.
Well, that's about the dumbest thing I've ever heard. There have always been task forces formed by various agencies that face jurisdictional impairments without joining forces. It means nothing. It is an effort by someone to do something, but yeah. In the crazy convoluted world of conspiracists, everything is suspect, especially those things not understood.
That paragraph I thought was especially interesting. There have always been task forces formed by various agencies that face jurisdictional impairments. Now, what do you think a jurisdictional impairment would be? Violating the law?
Well, I guess...
No, let's not say that, but a jurisdictional impairment?
Is that like being vertically impaired if you're short?
No, jurisdictionally impaired. I mean, come on. If you can read things, if you can read and understand, if an agency faces a jurisdictional impairment without joining forces, that means that if they don't do that, they're going to break the law. Okay? So they found a way to get around it by joining with other forces to get around the jurisdictional impairments. Go ahead, Michelle.
Well, we saw something in that jurisdictional impairment here just recently in the Waco hearings, where they had the representatives of the military as one of the panels being questioned by the joint subcommittees. And the bottom line was, it was okay for the military to be involved in the big Waco siege as long as they were paid for. It had a lot to do with if your costs were being reimbursed or not. Now, if the ATF had to single-handedly bear the cost of the military involvement, hey, we might have had a little bit of a jurisdictional problem and a little bit of violation of posse comitatus. But they kind of got off of that. So, jurisdictional impairment, hey, you know, we need some new handicap laws for that or something to take care of our black helicopter boys.
I'm pretty tired of being jurisdictionally impaired.
Yeah. All right, talking about black helicopters, it says the FBI has a few, DEA has some, and the Forest Service may on occasion, but only because they rent them on contract. I contacted Aviation Week and Space Technology's senior military editor, who believes he had seen one or two himself, but couldn't remember when or whose it was. When I told him I was trying to track down who might have a good number on the mysterious blackbirds, he laughed. We talked about black budgets for black programs, but no MJTF or other sinister agency came up during our conversation.
Now, this is one piece of good disinformation in this article that I remember by Craig B. Hullett. When he asked this supposed expert about black helicopters, he laughed. Now, does that mean that he said there were none? No. Did he say that there were no black helicopters, or did he say that there was no MJTF or other sinister agency? No. He only says that it didn't come up during their conversation.
This is a supreme example of they do not confirm or deny. When you're asking questions of people and you want to find out what's really going on, pay as much attention to what they do not say as what they do say. Because if they don't confirm and they don't deny, you have not had your question answered. And that's just a little, there's no charge for that, okay? We'll continue with the article. Nobody has but a few black anything because their colors are dictated by higher command. See, he has just gotten done telling us the colors of the helicopters of the different branches of the armed service. But don't a few black choppers exist within the military forces for special purposes like night ops? I was told in the clearest of tones, quote, "We don't need black to fly night ops," unquote. There is little need to use that color since electronic countermeasures, or ECMs, are far superior to any color scheme disguising flight. Most military helicopters, though, have received over the past years a special chemical-resistant coating that substantially darkens the olive drab by making it appear black. I have in my files several dozen, quote, evidence, close quote, photographs, of mysterious black helicopters with no visible markings. The markings that all helicopters have are black. And little contrast is the desired effect, since the military does not want the markings to be visible to personnel on the ground. So why should it be surprising that military helicopters appear to be unmarked? Now I wonder, I have seen so many black helicopters flying around Tinker Air Force Base and on their way to Lawton and the heliport down in Lexington. What danger is it to them that I might see their markings and be comforted and put at ease knowing that it's our boys up there and not somebody else? The markings is a big question. Continuing with the article, but the black hello myth has evolved further than colors and markings. The fiction now includes specific black helicopter behavior. Black choppers may shy away if witnesses or law officers try to approach. Law officers? Why would they try to avoid officers of the law? They're not a threat. Continuing. Several accounts of aggressive behavior on the part of helicopter occupants have been reported. These occupants are even dressed in black. Black helicopters are not on military operations, but rather are operated by FEMA to populate at least 96 underground detention centers secretly funded by the U.S. government, the myth goes. These helicopters have taken on the suggestive appearance of UFOs, if anyone would just admit it. They have a kind of cartoon quality as well. They shy away from us. They become aggressive if we draw too close. They don't want us to know where they come from, so they have no markings, etc. If the mystery of black helicopters is so easily dismissed, then the issue cannot be their color, but why people fear them. Have suggestions by militia leaders and conspiracists been of such a nature to cause people, already terrified by the haunting tales of Waco and Weaver, to rise to a level of mass hysteria? And now we enter the true disinformation section of the article.
She's a good girl, loves her mom, loves Jesus, in America too. She's a good girl, is crazy about Elvis, loves horses, and her boyfriend too. And it's a long day, living in Reseda. There's a freeway running through the yards, and I'm a bad boy, 'cause I don't even know. a bad voice that's breaking her heart.
Do you want to be free? Well, there are many ways that you can approach that subject. One of them is to call Swiss America Trading. If you want to be free monetarily, if you want some real money, money that you can put in your hand and it feels like money, especially silver and gold, yes. If you want to be free monetarily, call Swiss America Trading.
Yes, that was Tom Petty, Free Fallin', from his album Full Moon Fever. And our economy is certainly headed for a free fall, I guess everybody knows. So in order to buy your life, supply your family with food, to have your assets protected, you must call Swiss America Trading and speak with Gene Miller. Ask him how his company can assist you in preparing for what is inevitably to come. That telephone number is 1-800-289-2. Be really glad you did.
I won't back down. How about you? How about you, you militia conspiracy theorist, fringe fiction believer buff? You want to back down? Now we're going to continue with what Craig Hullett and Soldier of Fortune magazine think about you.
Yes, I'm going to continue reading with this article, and I'm going to try not to comment at all. It's just too insulting, and we're going to continue now with the disinformation section of the article and his opinion of the militia mentality. So hold on to your seats, folks, and don't get too flipped out. This is the magazine's opinion, and I think it sucks. Here we go. Quoting, "The whole phenomena must be addressed by delving into the militia mentality itself, their theories about how the world works and who is pulling the strings. Only then does the picture become clear. I have studied government abuse and corporate corruption professionally for some 26 years. I have troubled myself enough to read most of the conspiracy books and tabloids and have gained an insight into the militia movement that may explain the hysteria. Many of their worries are fiction. Their feared New World Order is not a thing, but an idea that has been around since the turn of the century. On the other hand, many of their arguments are valid concerns. Yet, there is no conspiracy to achieve these things, only outrage that they occurred. No hidden agenda or secret druidism exists behind all this. An occasional criminal conspiracy surfaces and can result in a scandal such as Waco. These indignations against this country's citizens have certainly fueled fear and frustration, but a vast master plan does not exist. The reason these apparitions and theories figure so prominently is because the militia leadership wants them to, and therein lies the danger. The Mark Kornkeys and Linda Thompsons who espouse conspiracy doctrine are dangerous because, like much of the militia leadership, theirs is the, quote, big lie, close quote, exactly as Hitler and Goebbels knew it. Thompson's video by that title was apparently watched by Timothy McVeigh. According to George Burst of KMAX Copy in Kingman, Arizona, McVeigh became enraged after seeing it, telling him that a paramilitary group's plan to march on the Capitol had been canceled, but something new was in the works. The canceled march on Washington was Thompson's brainchild and included an obscene, quote, ultimatum, close quote, stating that, quote, militia members must wear identifying insignia and be armed, close quote, and warning her militia that, quote, if captured, you must be treated as a prisoner of war, close quote. In addition to these delusions, she gave herself the rank of adjutant general. McVeigh was also allegedly Kornkey's bodyguard during a Florida militia gathering where Kornkey talked, according to Bob Johansson, the militia leader. It's clear that McVeigh was completely taken in by these two clowns, and it is because of those of this ilk, not in spite of them, that this country is at risk. Let me be clear, he says. There are no black helicopters out there of the nature the militias believe there to be. There is no MJTF, no New World Order, no UN or Russian troops preparing to attack, no Russian tanks at the ready, no American soldiers under UN control, no chemical biological warfare equipment from Eastern Europe being readied for an attack, and no conspiracy to take away good patriots' gun rights. This is the primary reason why Kornkey and Thompson get away with their scams. Though they are phonies, the militia members are wooden soldiers themselves, so it is beyond their capacity to make this discernment. In fact, most authors and talkers on the militia survivalist circuit are frauds as well. But the ill-informed fail to see a difference between the legitimate and the charlatan. Talk radio has gone some distance to help blur the distinction between fact and speculation, between legal opinion and barroom banter, between the stupid and the philosophical. The militias will not cause anything but chaos. They are not the Afghan freedom fighters, and this isn't an occupied territory, no matter what they choose to believe. Their belief system within the militia, while disparate, has a consistent running theme. They tend to believe the founding of America was highlighted by divine input rather than Jefferson and Paine's, that natural law and common law rule rather than evolution of the rule of law. They hold that jurisdiction can only apply with their personal and individual consent rather than the consent of many. They do not believe democracy is or ought to be a part of this country's process. They do not see democracy as a legal form of government. Those of us who have served in combat know these militias will accomplish only the further loss of constitutional rights. We also know how strong the desire is to be led. That their arguments are wrong but allowable within dialectical discourse is not the contention.
They may believe the earth is flat, but the discourse ends when they pick up weapons and attempt to apply their justice of force upon the rest of us. Much of the rest of us are equally as angered and frustrated by what has happened to our system of governance, but that same system provides measures by which it may be corrected. Many of us are well informed, not the ignorant masses these self-proclaimed saviors believe. I could not find one instance of educational material, documentation, or evidence that was not without the most egregious errors and outright fabrications. Our skies are full of aircraft, black and otherwise. As a nation, we are extending military authority closer and closer to domestic law enforcement. It's all quite legal. You've seen a black helicopter? So what? It means precisely nothing. It's only when the warped interpretations of militia conspiracists are used to put your sighting into their context that it becomes anything threatening. Fact is, there's not one shred of evidence that anything sinister is going on. End of quote. That is Craig B. Hullett's opinion in the August 95 issue of Soldier of Fortune.
Well, he talks about having a real hard time finding any documentation for anything going on. He can do what I did. I'm just a regular Joe citizen, but I can go down to the library, especially if you, the local law library here. And if you have one in your area, I encourage you to do the same. Go to your local law library. Look through the executive orders that have been signed. Look up the documentation that reveals how the United Nations and our Congress have collaborated. It's not hard to find, Mr. Hullett. Just go look it up. Now, what do we want to look at next?
Well, did you want to... Whoops, I have my mic turned up. Did you want to talk about this inflammatory article about Linda?
Oh, sure.
I mean, if I were Linda, I'd sue.
Well,
libel.
On page 47, Linda from La La Land. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to pick out some of the most brutal excerpts. In 1993, videotape Waco the Big Lie brought its producer, Indianapolis lawyer Linda D. Thompson, national attention. Millions of Americans watched the quasi-underground tape, which was widely distributed at gun shows and militia meetings. It was here that many people learned for the first time that the federal government had intentionally misled them about the brutal deaths of the many Branch Davidians later adjudged innocent. Thompson helped raise public awareness of the federal government's culpability in the deaths, but she has since proven herself tragically unfit for the responsibilities and opportunities that her success provided her. Such errors and her refusal to see the truth when confronted with errors have shattered her credibility. Today, she and her husband Al operate a computer bulletin board and sell conspiracy merchandise. Thompson has also sought to capitalize on her celebrity by founding the American Justice Federation. In reality, American Justice Federation is a marketing organization specializing in terribly overpriced pamphlets, books, and audio and videotapes. She speaks on bills with other conspiracy salesmen. By mid-1994, she had gone completely over the edge and in a fit of megalomania proclaimed herself Acting Adjutant General, Unorganized Militia of the United States of America. If anyone has been listening to the Hour of the Time for any length of time, you remember when Linda Thompson was on Mr. Cooper's show. They were discussing the march that was going to take place on Washington, and Bill basically, in my opinion, talked her out of doing it because it wouldn't be a bad idea. Let's read what Soldier Fortune has to say about it. Perhaps seeing herself as the next or previous Napoleon, Thompson called for a march on Washington and declared, "The militia will arrest congressmen who have failed to uphold their oaths of office, who will then be tried for treason by citizens' courts." Now, this is me speaking, Dave. I ask you, are there congressmen who have failed to uphold their oaths of office who could be tried for treason? Think about it. I'll continue. Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America observed that the likely result of this march would have been the martial law and the loss of the November elections by all pro-gun candidates. Fortunately, the fantasy unit that she was, slash is, general of, didn't have any takers. I beg your pardon. there are more takers around this country getting ready to do something. Anyway. She canceled the event with a long, rambling treatise on how she never intended to do it in the first place and was only announcing this as a wake-up call for the Patriot Militia movement. When Mike Dillon, publisher of the Blue Press Reloading Catalog, spoke out against Thompson's lunacy in a brief editorial, she sued him. Apparently an example of freedom of the press under her tutelage. The lawsuit against the well-respected Dillon was thrown out of court with prejudice by the judge. Thompson alleges she has a suit pending against Soldier of Fortune magazine, but we are unaware of the same. As far as this article goes, Linda, I have no cost legal service, so come and get me. That's what James McQuaid has to say.
Well, we might discuss that proposed march on Washington for just a minute before we close that section of the discussion. By calling for an armed militia march on Washington, it became available to assess the actions of those who would oppose us and determine what their planning was, how they organized their forces, how they were going to resist this operation, and it provided a great deal of very useful intelligence. And for the militia members out there who were understandably miffed at not being able to put on their camo gear and get killed in front of the White House, I would suggest that you reconsider your activism. There's no point in being radical. As Mr. Cooper has always said, whoever fires the first shot is going to lose this war. We do not want the militias to be placed in a situation where they appear to be the enemy. We need public support, and we need the public to understand that should there be insurrection in this country, it's going to be the local militias that maintain law and order and keep looting from occurring in their neighborhoods. And a militia person could come between you and death in a situation like that. So put away your radical ideas and get sensible and get smart and live smart, and this thing can have a much happier outcome. But I would be the last person to criticize Linda Thompson for anything. She's a gutsy gal, brave, courageous, and true. And she's a little impulsive at times, but aren't we all? You know, I don't think that the woman should be criticized because of her personality, but a person should look at the quality of her work, which is prodigious.
Let's discuss what a soldier of fortune is. Does anybody remember what a soldier of fortune is?
A paid mercenary, isn't it?
A mercenary. A soldier for hire. Hey, if the UN's got the best pay at the time, well, the soldier of fortune would go work for the UN. I'm sure many mercenaries prefer to work for the side that is fighting for a cause that they agree with, but again, remember, a soldier of fortune is a mercenary.
Right, money talks and BS walks, right, even with the military.
Well, the money is talking right now. There's one more article that I thought we might look at, entitled All the News That's Fit to Invent, Shining the Light of Truth on Spotlight, also written by Craig B. Hullett. And it's a very long article. See, the most clever thing about this issue of Soldier of Fortune is how they mix fact with fiction, how they take good people like, in my opinion, Linda Thompson, and just lump them all together with people like Mark Kornke or Spotlight newspaper. But let me just read a bit of this. The close association among the militia movement and Spotlight is significant. Many of the militia members, and certainly its leadership, are whole cloth believers of the misinformed writings, convoluted reasoning, and outright fabrication of facts in this little tabloid. The problem with that statement is part of it's true. So you people need to be sharp about what you're doing if you're going to involve yourself in any sort of militia. But let me continue. The written piece discusses one article that showed up in Spotlight. The written piece was headlined, Globalization of National Guards, and it focused on a program of the National Guard whereby a kind of sister city project is presently ongoing called National Guard State Partnerships in Central and Eastern Europe. The Guard of, for instance, Alabama might be partners with, for example, Romania. A rational explanation is not needed here, and space does not permit an extended analysis of such programs, as they are a normal evolution of relationships since the collapse of the Soviet Empire. They are, the National Guard of Alabama is going to be partners with Romania, and that doesn't upset Mr. Hullett. It upsets a lot of people.
It was my understanding that the National Guards of the individual states are under the command of the governors of those states, and since when is the governor of any state in cahoots with a foreign government?
Analyzing why Spotlight does what they do may go some distance to explain the growth of extra-constitutional militias. Even a cursory analysis of the interface between Spotlight and these militias reveals a symbiotic, synergistic relationship. When the militia winks, Spotlight nods. It is significant that many of the sources that Spotlight cites are members and leaders of the militia of Montana, or such luminaries as Mark the Janitor Quarantine, Linda Wimp Waco Thompson, and Bo Landeal Gritz, because the credibility of sources is important. To us who have studied those who have made a cottage industry of fear, considering the source might be the end of it. But we cannot assume the same analysis skills among the misled, but otherwise sincere folks that may have joined some misguided militias. In the minds of many of the folks who have joined various militias, these photos in Spotlight comprise, to their way of thinking, absolute documentation that an imminent invasion is soon to take place. Let me pause here for a second. We're going to have to get organized. Okay.
While you're pausing, let me make some comments about the Spotlight. Back in the early 70s, we subscribed to the Spotlight. Back then, we really didn't know any better, and we were just beginning to learn and to study and to research on our own. And it was through doing this sort of research that the history of the Spotlight came to light. And you do have to question how every anti-government publication comes under fire of the government except the Spotlight. It's allowed to publish freely. It's not harassed by the government, and it can publish and distribute more cheaply than any other anti-government publication around. It would be a good thing to recall that the Liberty Lobby, which is the parent organization of the Spotlight, has been in existence since World War II. And before it was called the Liberty Lobby, it was the American branch of the German Bund for the National Workers' Socialist Party. Of course, that is Nazis. So you just have to look at the history, watch how it's come down through the years, changed its code a little bit, but it's still the same critter underneath, and people would do well to walk with great care when considering the Spotlight.
Amen. And does anyone ever think about the fact that Soldier Fortune often tries to portray itself as being, somewhat not part of the regular establishment media? Somewhat looked down upon and oppressed by government higher-ups and by the regular news media. But does anybody think about the fact that it was Colonel David Hackworth, who has written a zillion articles for Soldier Fortune, suddenly turned up one day with a job with Newsweek, and he was the one that was allowed to interview Timothy McVeigh? Anybody think about that? I did.
There are a lot of things to consider about Soldier Fortune and what it really stands for, but with regard to this particular August issue, it's the thing that's most disturbing to me is to read the attitude present in all of the articles by these different writers. This is not just one writer. It has appeared in virtually every article we've looked at. This very much elitist perspective that those of us who are militia or believe that there is a right to have a militia, and we are understanding that the constitutions of our states, somehow we're scum, and they're elitist, and they're so educated, and we are so ignorant, and so foolish, and so easily led, and desiring of being led. I find this insulting in the extreme, and although the magazine, as we've said before, is revered by militia and military people, it would be a good idea to figure out just where you fit in with their perceptions of their readership. I'm insulted. How do you feel about it, Dave?
Oh, I'm not too happy about it. If you would continue and read towards the end of the article, I believe we were in that section there, and just take us out with it.
All right. In the minds of many of the folks who have joined various militias, these photos in Spotlight comprise, to their way of thinking, absolute documentation that an imminent invasion is soon to take place. They see Gorbachev at the Presidio of San Francisco as the lead mole of the advanced guard of Soviet sneak attacks. They view the UN role as not dissimilar. The United Nations is just a branch of communists who no longer call themselves such. The reality of the collapse of the Soviet bloc and the disarray of the Red Army does nothing to dissuade these true believers. Quote, it's all a foil, a feint, a clever ploy by the Russians practicing their craft. Close quote. Quote, not a shot being fired. Close quote. Red Dawn, Rambo, and a steady diet of conspiracies mostly hatched in the minds of militia mentalities. There are many recent developments not in our national interest, such as NAFTA, GATT, the Mexican bailout, and the promotion of utopian concepts known for decades, now peddled as a new world order. These things exist, but they're just not what Spotlight describes, not even close.
You can hear our guard dog barking in the background. It's okay, I believe. But he's nervous like our dog should be. Continue, please.
All right, just a moment here. Any publication that would keep its readers half-ignorant by telling half-truths or out-of-context factoids does a great disservice. I would have to say, physician, heal thyself, to the soldier of fortune about that comment. Continuing with the article, what is surprising is that any rational person would think that an invading army from, pick one, the United Nations, New World Order, Russia, or the Zionist occupational government would plan to do battle in North America with armor that has proved decidedly inferior to what is already here and which would be totally without logistical support over here. When people react in fear to such interesting but innocuous events, it is because their information base is incomplete or distorted or both. If the fear is so great as to make one join an armed band when nothing serious has happened to that individual, the source of the angst is not usually just bad information. It requires belief in utter falsehoods to guarantee this level of fear. Most militia organizations are set up on a military protocol so as to have built-in deniability for its leaders. Timothy McVeigh was just one of hundreds, perhaps thousands, operating in this vacuum. The militias, none of them, have the expertise to weed out sociopaths, as evidenced by the fact that some of them are now in jail with the probability of more to come. Punk killers do not a revolution make, regardless of how zealots may delude themselves.
Well, now that I have found out and discovered that I am one of the ignorant masses, ill-informed, warped-thinking, militia conspiracy theorist, fringe fiction believer buff, hysterical master plan, apparition-believing wooden soldier, survivalist, barroom bantering, non-combat-serving, desiring to be led, punk, what do I have to say about it? Good night and God bless you all.
That song's just like me, it wouldn't quit. Another outstanding broadcast of the Hour of the Time. This is the voice of freedom. You're listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network with studios in Eager, Arizona, broadcasting on satellite GE1, transponder 7, 7.56 audio, and over 700 FM stations across the nation and around the world. Stay tuned now for Michael Cottingham with Quest for Help.
Thank you.